America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship, hoping we would too. Friendship, pass it on, from the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
In this meditation, I invite you to become aware of the two types of consciousness that reside within the soul. Let us choose the consciousness of light over the darkness of past stories. The history that gets into our way. Let us now remember our connection to the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the being of light. For far too long, we have allowed the external forces to dictate our inner force. And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart to be myself. I choose to no longer be under the influence of what the world tells me, what my parents have told me, my spouse, friends, or anyone who has been a negative influence in my life. In this meditation, I stand strong in the original, eternal, imperishable worth of the soul. I, the being of light, the soul of power, I step into the heart and I become a being of love, a being of light and goodness.
I see the smallest thing.
Hello and welcome to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. Antonia's looking at me across the room saying, I don't know how she does it. This little yogi multitask, and I'm really trying to be like that tunnel vision type of yogi, but I don't think I'm designed like that. I think I'm actually open and I'm actually available to keep being very conscious of the things that are around me and at the same token, staying focused on what's important. You know, a lot of our healing comes from the ability to remain focused and concentrated. How long can you hold in your awareness the power of a positive thought? How long do you hold the power of a positive thought? Because to the extent that you can hold a positive thought, to that extent you can also heal what's going on inside of yourself. Talking to somebody, or rather texting someone the other day, and their consciousness was that I'm just really making effort to be present so I can move forward. And I said, I get that. My understanding of being present is until you're finished settling all your karmic debts, there's something that's going to pull you in the past or someone that's going to pull you fast forward. And if you haven't responded to your responsibilities, and if there are things that are still lacking, if there's things that are still owed on a deep soul level, it will pull your consciousness. No matter how much you try to make it a little bit bigger than you think it is and go, I've closed my door and that I'm done, it pulls you. How many people in their final moments in their deathbed are constantly remembering the things that they've done that they could have done better? It pulls you. You might mentally think that you finished it all, but it doesn't. And I know that many of us are going into our process to try to clear up what's going on with the debris on the inside. And I was telling the gang this morning that, you know, the community that I'm in, where you are like forced to look at yourself through with love and service and purpose, it starts to reveal to you things that are in you that you might have missed. And when you miss something that's inside of you, somewhere tucked away, being in a position where it opens it up by force because you're with people that you wouldn't have, you know, banked on to be with, or you're in a situation that you wouldn't have created for yourself. It's giving you a window to see what is still sitting there inside of you that needs to be opened. I don't know what it's like to step away from everyone and everything that means a lot to me, or I don't know what it's like to step away from my mirror reflectors. I don't know what it's like to run. I might know what it was like in some previous birth, but for some reason, this one's got me leaning into everything. So we're going to look forward to having a wonderful conversation with Mir Schneider, who's going to be talking about the power of self-healing, and we're all looking at healing ourselves. It is imperative. And before we go to Mir, why don't we do just what we do best here? A little bit of meditation and a lot of letting go from my off the grid into the heart city, and then we'll get Mir on the line. So ready? Breathe in deeply. Relax, and let's let it go. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time, welcome back, everyone. That was from the Off the Grid Into the Heart, the Letting Go track. It really brings us into a place within ourselves, a place that I feel we need to connect with more and more. Well, the America Meditating Radio Show is so happy to announce the internationally respected therapist and educator, Meir Schneider. He's the founder and director of the School of Self-Healing in San Francisco, California, the author of several books, including Yoga for Your Eyes, Meir Schneider's Miracle Eyesight Method, and the principal author of the Handbook of Self-Healing. He was awarded a PhD in the healing arts for his work with muscular dystrophy, born blind and declared incurably blind after a series of childhood operations left him with only a slight ability to discern light and shadow. Meir remained convinced that his handicap was not permanent, and as a teenager, he began work with two teachers who gave him exercises and techniques to reverse his blindness. Within 4 years, he had gained a remarkable degree of vision and begun to develop a system of therapeutic exercises combining movement, breathing, and mental imagery. We're so happy to welcome Meir to the America Meditating Radio Show. What an inspirational story, Meir.
I feel being at home, and I really enjoyed all your meditations. I want to tell you, I'm passing through a very good time now. I was in Europe, in the Black Forest of Germany, with about 100 students that I was working with, and I'm being invited all over the world, but now I'm in the nation capital. I'm going to go home right after this interview. And my daughter just graduated from George Washington University. Now, what's interesting is that just like myself, my two kids were born with cataracts. And there was, you know, always that fear that they will go through what I went through. I was born blind to deaf parents. It's not usual to be born with cataracts. Many people have cataracts in the 60s and 70s, but only one out of 20,000 infants are ever born with cataracts. So what happened was that I was able to help my kids to improve their vision and at the same time give them the correct medical treatment, which we learn is to removing the lens at the age of 2 weeks so the brain can develop normally. And
wow.
Their vision is totally normal. My daughter finished her BA at cum laude. She's going to Australia for a whole year to work and to fun. So she lives totally normal life. And everybody expected me to be blind for life, but I read, write, and drive, and I'm happy to do so. So it's really nice for me to train the whole world to see better. By the way, the latest book I have is called Vision for Life. It's published by North Atlantic, carried by the Random House, and it's actually selling well enough that I can write the second edition to that book. And it is of vision improvement exercises.
I believe that, and I want to hear more about this whole power of self-healing, because I do know that everything comes from the soul. Your faith, your belief, your lack of faith, your victory, your defeat, it comes from the thoughts that you percolate, what you believe in. People might have told you incurably, like you cannot see again, but something within your soul said, is that really a fact? Is that really true? Do I not have what it takes within my own soul to heal myself? So what did you discover regarding the power of self-healing and the power that the body has to heal when the person takes charge of their healing?
You're asking a very good question. Let me give it some translation.
Mm-hmm.
I have two reasons not to see anatomically, okay? One reason is that my lens is shattered after 5 cataract surgeries, and they didn't do it the way they did with my kids, where they just removed the lens. 5 cataract surgeries, 99% of my lens is scar tissue. So the light bounces back. And so everybody understands why I had 1% vision when I started, but not everybody understands why I have 70% vision right now. The other thing is I did not have an original brain development that allowed me to see well. And so with eye exercises, I was able to get to a place where I can read, write, and drive. And the point is you exercise your capacity. You exercise your potential instead of basically exercising your disability. And many people don't understand that disability is something that can exacerbate itself or be reduced. And there's two ways where you can exacerbate your disability. One is that you try to act normal when actually you lost a lot of function. And that means that you put yourself under enormous pressure and you don't accept yourself, first of all, the way you are. I've seen people who do that. The other one is that you feel that you're so disabled that you need everyone's help, that you cannot do things on your own, and things cannot get well if you just are on your own. I think the moment that you accept yourself the way you are, and then you inch yourself forwards, that's the moment that you're open for true healing. Because healing goes step by step, it doesn't come all at once. And whatever comes all at once gets lost all at once as well. So I work with people with paralysis, like muscular dystrophy, and nobody believes that they can improve. And I was able to prevent many people from getting to the wheelchair. Sometimes we can't be in a place where we get people altogether better. But a real good example I have is of somebody with multiple sclerosis, very different illness, of course, of the nervous system, that fell down, and her daughter, out of kindness, wanted to take her to special assistance home. Well, I came and taught her to stand up, climb up the stairs, took me a bunch of sessions, lots of work in cold pool, which is good for multiple sclerosis, and the result is that the woman is staying at home, capable, is functioning, still uses the wheelchair, her back is a little bit crooked, but nevertheless, never had to give up in the last 5 years the ability to be in her own home. So healing, first of all, is accepting where you are, not resenting where you are, and then slowly, slowly inching forward.
Wow, that's really quite spiritual as well, because really we have to keep making these little steps, really, to break through certain walls of karmic stuff, don't you think?
Absolutely agree with you, but let me tell you the exact opposite. Mr. Snellen decided that everybody should see 2020, right? as if it's written in the Bible, thou shalt see 20/20. So basically, you go to the ophthalmologist, you see better than 20/20. Well, if you complain that you actually reduced your vision, he sends you home. You go to the ophthalmologist and you see less than 20/20. And if you say, I see well enough to get along in life, he still prescribes you glasses. Here is the truth, that just like all of us run a bit differently, walk a bit differently, we also see a bit differently. And somebody who saw twice as good as 20/20 and lost a lot of vision, well, he has to be considered. And I remember somebody that I did with him eye exercises because no ophthalmologist understood him, and we could get him to see again what he used to see, which was three times as good as 20/20. When he just saw two times as good as 20/20, nobody understood he had any problem. On the other end, even if your vision is 95% of 20/20, you immediately will be prescribed glasses, which are like braces. So one thing that I want to say is that we have very limited ideas of how we should be functioning. And to begin with, let's accept ourselves as we are. If I was born with genes of muscular dystrophy, well, I would accept that I have muscular dystrophy, but I would try to do all I can do to do the best I can do with my genes. And I tell you, patients of mine that work with me end up limping lightly when exactly the kind of patients that have the exactly disease that they have end up being in a wheelchair or end up dying from the illness. The question is, what do you do with what you have? And number one is accept it. Don't resent life. Don't resent what you have. Don't struggle with God. And don't decide that if you're not normal, it's not okay. It is okay. And then improve yourself from that space. And you'll find yourself improving quite a bit.
Excellent advice. This whole energy of resentment, I think, is one of the key factors in breaking down not only the spiritual and emotional system of the soul, but that, of course, also impacts the body. So if I do have a debilitating illness, that resentment actually feeds the debilitating illness. And so I love when you said, Mir, to just accept it. And again, what I believe, lean into what you're struggling with, because in leaning into it, at the moment of the opposition or the obstacle is when you're going to have your breakthrough.
Can I tell you two examples of that, which are vivid on my mind? I had one client. Actually, he was a head of a big station in D.C., and he was sent to me. I gave him a free session with multiple sclerosis. And he kept telling me what a great athlete he was and how he cannot do anything having multiple sclerosis. And I kept showing him that with some exceptions, he's still mobile. So I said, forget the athletic stuff you did because you don't live now in the time that you were an athlete. Now you are debilitated with multiple sclerosis, but there's a lot of movement available for you. So we worked on what's available for him, gave him routine exercises to work with that, and I heard that he had a life change, that by accepting himself in the way he is now, he became much more functional. The other side of it, which was very interesting, I work with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. If you gave me a choice between having Duchenne muscular dystrophy or having cancer, I take cancer anytime. Because in Duchenne muscular dystrophy, kids become weaker from the age of 4 or 5 and weaker all the time. And when they become 11 or 12, they die. And basically, that's the time that you look at yourself in the mirror and see how strong you are and all that. And that doesn't happen to them. And I was talking to a father of somebody with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and I said, I'm sorry for the problem that your son is going through. And because we were talking about how to use my method for his son, he said, no, don't be sorry. That is his destiny. And it struck me so well, went deeply into my core. That is his destiny. And that means I accept where I am. And we definitely improved his son's ability to heal as Duchenne, but he didn't die as early, and he was able to strengthen himself to some extent. So what I'm saying is, it's very important that you accept yourself as you are. That's the beginning of all healing. Another thing, that you accept that you have a huge potential of change. And another thing, believe that the medical profession has a lot to contribute, but is very chaotic. And we shouldn't really believe in their criteria. We shouldn't really believe we can't move forward. And that's why we have a program of training that starts in August in our place in San Francisco, by the beach, with a trampoline, with a hot tub, with using the sand a lot, to learn in all situations how we can improve our vision, how we can improve our muscle work, how we can improve our joints. We have 600 muscles in the body, and most of us use only 50 out of them. And we have to learn how to use more and more of them in a very conscious way.
I didn't know we had 600 muscles in the body. Now I know why I ache so much. But we're going to come to a close to our show. And before I do, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your new book? I didn't know about it, Vision for Life. What can we expect?
Yeah, Vision for Life is 196 pages at this point. And I'm so proud of it because it shows you how to get rid of your glasses, how to get rid of nearsightedness, farsightedness. And it also shows you how to deal with yourself if you had a cataract surgery, because they send you home and just observe to see if anything goes wrong, how to make sure nothing goes wrong, like physiotherapy for the eye, which doesn't exist in the conventional world, how to get rid of glaucoma or not have glaucoma, how to improve yourself from macular degeneration, macular puckered, retinal detachment, how to work with 1% vision and how to work with 99% vision and even 100% vision, what to do with the computer. For example, we give an advice to look at a distance before looking from near, to pay attention to the periphery before you're going to start and narrow your gaze at the computer and forget that anything else exists. And in that way, you compromise your vision. So that book is really a manual, a simple one, and it got good stars on Amazon.com. And last month, we were in Massage Magazine. And I just want everybody to know that book will change your life.
I thank you so much for that, Mir. Mir, it's been a pleasure having you. Congratulations to your daughter for getting her BA at George Washington University. It's a wonderful university. And hopefully you'll get a chance to pass by the Meditation Museum before you leave the nation's capital. And when you come back here, we've got to get you to do a talk on your new book. I think it's really timely. I have to let you go, but I want you to leave us with your favorite life quote and a website that our listeners can get a hold of you.
Yeah. So first of all, my favorite quote is that whenever somebody comes with a new idea, he will face the violent opposition of the masses. That's Albert Einstein. And what I want to say is that the masses are the original concepts of the medical profession. The masses are basically people who don't believe they can get any better. And my own quote is, you have no idea what power relaxation and consciousness have. And that's why I love your radio station. The second thing is, I will pass by your museum, but only from my cab. However, I want to meet you in person when I come back to D.C., and I have many, many talk shows on WPFW here in D.C., so I'm definitely familiar with many people in D.C., and I will be more than happy to meet you and to meditate with you, as well as go out with you with a meal. And for all the audience, if you want
thank
to change,
you.
Please work with my book.
Oh, thank you so much, Mir Schneider, and keep up the good work and all the very best.
Thank you, Sister Jenna.
Take care. Bye-bye. Imagine this, folks. It's all in your hands to heal yourself, to come back to a place of health. And contrary to what professionals and experts will tell you about the state of condition that you're in, at the end of the day, you've got to still believe in your capacity and your self-worth. So please, and I'm listening to myself as I plead to you as well, know that your healing is inside of you. You've been listening to America Meditating Radio Show, and we hope you enjoyed our conversation with Mir Schneider. For more information on Mir, just go to self-healing.com. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Download the Pause for Peace app so you can enjoy listening to all of these shows 24/7 and on demand. Or if you happen to be in your car and you're listening to AHA, TuneIn, or Stitcher, or Spreaker, feel free to just scroll to the America Meditating Radio Show and enjoy our conversations. We're here not about all the fluff. We're here about the content. So you might not hear all the top radio songs, or you might not hear all the top, you know, advertisements or commercials here, but we're not into that. We're here into content of conversations so that our lives can change. And even though I know that it's good to decompress through all that commercialism and advertising and all of these wonderful, incredible songs and rap songs and music that's out there, which I love tremendously, you're not going to get that here. But you will get content of conversation and a lot of heart. So thank you for tuning in to the America Meditating Radio Show, everyone. And feel free to come by the Meditation Museum if you're nearby. Or just go to our Twitter page, Medit Museum, or America Meditating as well, and follow us there. All the very best. We'll end with Lone Space by Lucinda Drayton on her You CD. Take care, everyone.